All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, December 27th. That is
James Davis.
And I'm Doug Norrie, and we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, or DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started or continue winning on FanDuel and DraftKings for NBA. We have a free 3-day trial to our projection system, which informs a lot of our opinions about putting together lineups, and you can also get optimal lineups through our system powered by Lineup Lab. That trial is free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Also includes NFL, so you still time to grab some NFL action if you are playing NFL on Sundays through the end of the season and the playoffs. So good to go for that subscription package. We think it's about as good a deal as you'll find in the business. All right, buddy. Today, really short slate. So this has been a kind of a up and down week for the NBA in terms of the scheduling. There was no game Saturday, four games Sunday. It seemed like everyone played last night. Now only four games again. It started at 7:30. The big thing tonight is probably the decision most people are going to make is, do you play Westbrook or do you play Harden, right? Like, I don't know if you can play them both necessarily on FanDuel, where Westbrook is a crazy 13,000, and what a loser. Couldn't even get a triple-double last game. Like, what's this guy's problem, right? Like, Merry Christmas, huh?
Yeah, like something's really wrong there.
But if you know, just at the outset, looking at those two guys, are we at this point now with Westbrook just out of the value zone? We were pushing up against it when we were in 12,000, but at 13,000, has he sort of outkicked his coverage in terms of like what you can actually realistically pay for him?
Yeah, I think he's gone from a guy who the price was a little bit too low, like when it was in that 11.8 to 12 range where he was pretty much a play regardless of who he was playing, and now he's more of just only a play when he's in a great matchup probably on these prices, just like most players, right? I mean, there aren't a lot of players who you get to play every single time they play.
Right.
So Westbrook against Miami tonight, slow matchup, solid interior defense there. I think I could definitely see pivoting in a different direction, particularly because the short slate is going to mean that there's not a lot of great punts tonight.
Yeah, and what you really need at these prices for him, you need to have maybe like two guys crop up, sort of, that you feel comfortable with them getting enough minutes in that, like, maybe on FanDuel at least that $4,000 to $4,500 range, which is, you know, that's essentially where we're punting with at this point in the season. We're rarely playing guys below that unless the situation is just totally, totally lock solid that they're going to be playing. And that's just, I just don't see that really happening on this slate of game. So that leaves us with other point guard decisions to make. Where do you think we can find some value at point guard?
Well, one guy we've been going down, you know, repeatedly this season is Goran Dragic. You know, they've been really up and down with all this injury stuff. He remains their key usage guy. He's putting up 15 or more shots a game. And, you know, he really contributes across the board, which makes him, an excellent option. Anytime you can get a guy at a position who contributes in a plus way at stats outside of the normal stats, so in the case of point guard, say points and assists, you can really start doing stuff. What I really like about this particularly is just the matchup. I mean, Oklahoma City plays super, super fast. And, you know, we always talk about this, but speed is relative. So even though Miami plays slowly, Dragic's price is in accordance with that speed. And so when they turn up the gas a little bit and have to play against a faster team like OKC, that can only be good for him really across the board.
Yeah, no, you see their implied total is about 102 right now, which is on the high side for Miami, and that is speaks only because they're going to be up and down. They think they're going to be up and down the court a little bit with OKC, and whereas OKC at 105 is much lower than you typically see them. Like, they're falling more in like the 108 to 110 range depending on opponent. So I think it's going the wrong way for Westbrook, going the right way for a guy like Dragic. He plays, you know, they don't run him all the time at point guard. They will run sort of like off-ball sets with him, with Richardson or Tyler Johnson, but he's getting his shots up no matter what. After him, you know, guys like, you know, the other issue in general with this slate is there are only four games, and then two of the games are Memphis and Utah, which is a teams you just typically, and Dallas is actually pretty slow as well. And so you get these really slow teams, and it's really difficult to target guys playing the Grizz or the Jazz because they're both good on defense and they just play such a plodding pace. I don't know, can you play a guy like Isaiah Thomas against Memphis? I mean, Thomas is not too expensive. He's a pretty high usage guy. His minutes are locked up. Do you, on a short slate, do you sometimes just have to play a guy against the matchup even though it doesn't look so great on paper?
Yeah, I mean, it's plausible that will wind up being a direction you have to go tonight. It's not like the first place my eye would want to go.
Right.
Like for instance, if George Hill were to be confirmed out, and I think as of right now that looks to be the case, I would rather play Shelvin Mack, you know, even though he hasn't necessarily been a lock on these prices, but in just a much better matchup and, you know, still a relatively secure role. I think I'd rather do that, because really the thing about these slow matchups is it just limits upside so dramatically that even though, yeah, sure, it's not terrible necessarily, but, you know, in a given night, like getting 4.2x points per dollar can actually just sink you completely if there's a chalk play, you know, who really exceeds that. And so, again, he's not the first guy I would want to turn to, but I could see doing it if I had to hold my nose and go for it. I guess I wouldn't kill myself or anything like that, but it's not an ideal spot at all.
Yeah, Mac 33 and 34 minutes in the last two without Exum and without Hill, and I'm with you. I don't think Hill plays either. He gets a great matchup against the Lakers. He doesn't do a ton. He's not a focal point of what they're trying to do really on offense. He's kind of just a stopgap solution to needing someone to dribble the ball up the court. That being said, still only 4,700 on FanDuel is... that's a fine-ish value. And I think that if we were definitely sure that he was just going to be the starter, it really looks like he's going to be, I could see him being on the chalkier side because he just allows you to get minutes for not that much in terms of price. You know, maybe some other guys to consider, maybe possibly Mike Conley if you think he's going to see around 34 minutes against Boston.
I think people look at Deron Williams tonight. I mean, that game has the highest total. He's been quite good recently. I know with Patrick Beverley on him, that might not be ideal, but, you know, he's a guy who's topped 5x points per dollar a handful of times recently, so he could be on a couple radars too. I don't know.
Yeah, Dallas is one of those other teams playing a pace-up kind of game against Houston. Their implied total is higher. Typically, you know, they usually fall in like that 95-point range. They're up at 102 or close to 103. Doesn't project to get totally out of hand with the Rockets, so... Williams' thing is the price has climbed up a little bit because he's been just amazingly consistent over the short term, over like the last 2 weeks or so, and that's just meant that the price has ticked up steadily, and it's close for me. I think he's a good play.
The thing is, no game is projected to get out of hand tonight, right? Like there's kind of a fly in the ointment of all these games. Like you're like OKC and the Heat, Boston and the Grizzlies, Houston and Dallas, the Lakers and the Jazz. Like it's just like every one of these games is terrible tonight. So you take what you can get. You know what I mean?
You get what you get and you don't get upset. Shooting guard. Harden, I think, is probably the clear play in the sense that I don't think you can play Westbrook at these prices. You don't get the same kind of upside on Harden as you do on Westbrook, mostly because he just doesn't rebound as well, and actually, I take that back. He actually just doesn't score as much as Westbrook, and that's really where he kind of like lags behind. The assist numbers are elite. Obviously, he can get into that double-digit rebounding, but he's just not hitting. He's really not hitting 30 points or above more often than not. But even at these prices, do you think that's just kind of the chalk play in all formats?
I would suspect so. You do get the slight savings there. And it's not really that slight, actually. 1600 is definitely significant. And while he hasn't exactly been killing it, and this isn't exactly the best possible matchup, the way the pricing tends to work out, probably by design, is that you wind up paying up somewhere. And he certainly seems to be the guy that jumps to the front of the page for me today.
After him, I wrote up Rodney Hood. Do you think that's like he's a guy that we can play? He should be back. He was sick. It wasn't an injury that was keeping him out. He had like a stomach virus or something. He kept having to go to the bathroom during the game the other night, and then they just like said, forget it, dude, just stay in the bathroom, I think. But then he ended up sitting out another game. So, but it's not like an injury situation for him to have missed. Do you see him as this kind of a safer play against, like we said with Mac, a defensively challenged Lakers team?
Yeah, I mean, shooting guard is kind of these land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king situations here tonight, where like there's just not a lot of good options after Harden. So I do think the Lakers are such a great matchup that, he would be, like if there weren't any of these injury or illness concerns at all, that he would be pretty straightforward play. And so if we really think that's behind him, then I think, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, Wes Matthews is a guy that our system has traditionally been pretty high on, and then his price has actually climbed over the short term, mostly because he's kind of figured out some of his shooting issues that were plaguing him to the start of the season.
We have him shoot the ball into the hoop instead of like just banging it off the rim or the backboard.
He was a guy who was getting concerned that it just wasn't running bad, that there was something just definitely wrong with what was happening with him, but he's kind of turned it around of late. He actually plays big minutes. Now, they're coming on the back-to-back. They played last night against New Orleans. He played 36 minutes, but he's a guy that we'll see sometimes getting close to 40 minutes. Where do you think we should set his minute? I have him at 37 minutes right now. Do you think that's, I feel like in some ways it could be too high and in some ways it could be too low. Like I'm not exactly sure.
That seems like the right number. I mean, it's somewhere between 36 and 37 would be my guess as to the base expectation there. And then really the question with Matthews, I think, is it all comes down to matchup. You know, he's not the type of guy who creates his own shot a lot of times. You know, he's kind of a Kyle Korver type, right? Where if he has a good matchup and can get some separation from the defender, then we've seen him put up some good totals. Like, so if you look at his game log recently, the Clippers, Portland, Denver, and Houston, none of those teams really features an A-plus wing defender that's going to cover him specifically. Of course, tonight he faces Houston again, so that strikes me as a pretty good thing. You know, he's up and down enough to the point where I don't think you're ever going to – like, I'd much rather pay $4,700 or whatever we had to pay for him recently and $6,000. Like, he could just go out there and score you some 20 fantasy points and you're not going to be happy with it. And that all of that being said, like, given that you have to play somebody, I guess he can be on your radar. If it's me, though, I'm going to try and go a little bit cheaper. Like, particularly maybe to a guy like Nick Young. Young has been playing high 20s minutes, even touching 30, and has been paying pretty routinely 5x points per dollar or better on this price. And so, you know, if I have a choice between two of those guys, you know, two guys playing maybe more minutes than they were projected to, doing a little bit more than they were projected to. Yeah, Nick Young doesn't have as good a matchup, but I think his production has been a little bit more consistent. And if we're going to have a bad position anyway, I just as soon pay less.
Yeah, Nick Young's a guy that falls in sort of that Laker quagmire sometimes where you're just not totally sure what they're going to do because they just run so many different rotations. Sometimes he'll get minutes into the low 30s, and then other games he'll just kind of go out there and play 27 or 28. And against Utah, you're really running into a problem if you're only going to get like 27 minutes out of him. Then he really has to have everything basically go perfect when he's on the court because he actually just needs the score for him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I mean, if you look at the game log, like, so since he came back from injury, basically he's ducked below 20 fantasy points total just twice. Like, that's doesn't have all the hallmarks of an inconsistent player to me. Yeah, I know he's really scoring dependent, and that's definitely not great, particularly against a good defensive team. But again, I think it's so hard to evaluate nights like this because we're trying to, I think part of your brain wants to feel like, how would I feel if this guy was in my lineup on like a big Wednesday slate? And that's just not what's going on here. Right. So, yeah, he's not an ideal candidate necessarily, but hey, buddy, sometimes you vote for the lesser of two evils.
You know? And guys like that, like, also fit that mold, like our Tony Allen. Like, if you knew he was going to be playing really consistent, high, you know, mid, even low 30s minutes, I would love to just jog him out there against Boston. But he just, you know, he has games 29, 28, 23 minutes in the last three. And then, before that, it's like 38, 34, 34. So what's the truth with Allen? Like, it's not totally clear. And when it becomes not totally clear, you really run the risk of running into one of those 24-minute games, and then you're in trouble even at 4,400. So that's the problem with him. And then a guy like Josh Richardson, who's also cheap, who I would love to play, but I think he's actually just got an injury that's hurting his shooting. Like, he had a wrist injury that's been documented.
Yeah, that'll kill the long-distance shot.
Exactly. And so whenever that's the case, whenever you see wrist injury with a shooter, you really need to – the alarm bells need to go up for you because that's the death of your shot. And for him, he can do some other stuff, but he really needs the three-pointer to kind of get locked down. So shooting guard is – it's actually not the ugliest of all positions tonight, which is really saying – it's really saying something about how ugly this slate is in general.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah. Well, that's a tease, I guess. Well done.
Actually, I think small forward, though, is actually pretty strong. Straightforward. You have a guy like Gordon Hayward who's taken on a big, big piece of the scoring, especially with favors being down, and the poor Jazz just can't get healthy all at once. I know they haven't this season, but like in the last two seasons, I don't think they played who they thought was going to be their starting five. In it was like Hayward, Burks, Favors, Gobert, and then fill in a point guard. I guess now it's George Hill. Those guys just never played together. They're always hurt. right. So, but for him playing the Lakers tonight, price is still under 8,000. With the amount that he's scoring of late, do you think he's just another chalk play tonight?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, I think some people look at the game log and see, you know, a couple hiccups against good teams like Golden State and Toronto, but I do think that by and large, you know, really strong matchup, very reasonable price on what he can do. I think like something like 5x points per dollar is probably around his floor here. So, you know, and that's somewhat of a bold statement given his recent track record. But yeah, no, I think most people will look at him and see a really safe way to sink a few dollars and kind of breathe a sigh of relief on what otherwise is just like a ravaged, blood-torn slate of total destruction so far.
Right, yeah. And I think that's what you see with Hayward. The minutes should be safe at least in the mid to high 30s. If not, he can sometimes possibly push up against 40 if the game stays close. But they're just going to need a scoring. He doesn't need to totally score to hit value, but he will, you know, chip in assists and rebounds along sort of the edges, and he's not bad there, but he needs a three ball to hit, and he actually needs to get to the line and get to the rim to the line too. After him, what do you see as I have Winslow. It's kind of like not a lock play, but the minutes and how much he's been shooting against in this kind of up and down game versus OKC. He's only 5,200. Is that still sort of in the value range for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Winslow to me is like the same player as Wes Matthews, but 800 cheaper or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to play high 30s, touching 40 plus minutes from time to time. He's a different player than Matthews, obviously. Like he generates points from rebounds and assists and defensive stats a lot more than Matthews does, but I think that the whole package for him is robust enough at this point. The fact that he's doubled his shots this season, playing more minutes, I think the package is strong enough to where we can consider him on just any given night at this price. And then you throw in a good matchup with OKC, and I think he becomes something like a lock in cash game lineups.
Yeah, his shots are almost on par with what Dragic has been doing in the short term, 16, 16, right. 17 over the last three games.
That's basically what he's averaged this season. I mean, that's what he's doing now.
Yeah, he's thankfully shooting a few less three-pointers in that short term. Has probably got the edict from the coach to not do that anymore. Like, please do not shoot any more three-pointers.
He's one of the worst shooters ever.
Yeah, I think the price hasn't come up, and they just need to play him huge minutes because he's so versatile, right? And so these minute totals are insane. 40, and that game went to overtime, but 46, 42, 38, that you really don't see that kind of minute safety out of almost anybody else in the NBA, and there's no reason to suspect it's going to change tonight in this matchup.
Particularly at this price point, I think that's really you see guys who play this kind of minutes maybe, but it's like James Harden, you know?
Right,
like
right.
He's presents you a level of minute safety you can't get for 5,200.
Yeah, what about a guy like Harrison Barnes? Speaking of guys who play huge minutes, for a while Dirk was out, he was kind of rotating between the three and the four, just because he's kind of able to play both. He was taking a ton of shots. Dirk is back now, though. The shots have fallen off a little bit in the last two games along the minutes. How much do you think Dirk cuts into what Barnes is doing on Dallas? They have a good matchup against Houston tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obviously going to take over some shots, right? Because the thing about Dirk as compared to a guy like, I don't know, Dwight Powell or whoever, right. Like he's a centerpiece of the offense. And even if he hasn't eased fully back into his minutes yet, you know, playing just 15 and 17 minutes in his last two games, he still managed 21 shots over the course of those 31 minutes that he was on the court. So that kind of volume is going to cut into everyone's usage pretty dramatically. And even just coming off the bench and scooping up that many shots is still not ideal. So, you know, at some point Dirk's going to go out there and just play his full run of minutes. And then we'll see guys like Barnes, not that they're going to go back into obscurity, but they're just going to be overpriced because Barnes's current price is created based on Dirk not being in the lineup.
Right, which means it's just a little too high. And so I think that you're just going to see – I bet you're going to see a price drop on him in the short term. He'll get back down.
Yeah, you almost have to.
Right, just because he's just not going to be taking 20 to 23 shots a game like he was before. And as long as Dirk is there, that's just not going to happen. It's really the story of those three guys for me on FanDuel, at least for small forward, between Hayward, Winslow, and Barnes. I'm not really looking too many other places. You can't trust really the production or the matchups coming out of the guys like Luol Deng or Jay Crowder. So I don't think you need to go that direction at small forward. Now, the one we've all been waiting for, power forward. Tonight on power forward on FanDuel is the worst I've ever seen it. And I know we say that from time to time just because like every night that it's happening, it seems like the worst. This is the definitive worst I've ever seen. The fact that you have to play two of these guys, I mean, one is hard enough. Thank God in DraftKings you have a guy like Harrison Barnes qualifies at power forward, so you're just not totally, or like Montrezl Harrell or whatever, like you can play those guys at power forward and just not have to look at this total filth pit of just disaster. I stared at this when I was writing the picks last night and just almost couldn't come up with two names. Like, so what were your thoughts when you saw power forward today?
Well, my immediate instinct was to go down the entire list of players and just click on them all as a sanity check just to make sure we didn't have anyone's minutes wrong. Because I just couldn't stomach the names that were at the top of the list. I mean, so you have Julius Randle, right, who, you know, you're like, hey, Julius Randle, he's a real guy. Like, he's put up totals like this, and that's true. Like, he was just good against the Clippers. But he's against Utah. Utah is just one of the very worst matchups in the league for opposing power forwards. They currently rank best overall.
Right.
So you don't often take a guy who's like somewhat pretty much fairly priced and play him in the worst possible matchup. That's not normally a thing. And then you have Ryan Anderson. Similar story for him where you're like, okay, like I see a couple, like if you squint a little bit, you can see a couple games where he's paid these prices, and then you see a whole string of other games where you're like, okay, so he played Phoenix twice in his last three games. I bet he was awesome in those. Oh, no, he scored 22 fantasy points in those games. Like,
right.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're supposed to do at this position, honestly.
Well, the real warning sign for me was, like, so when you run optimal lineups on our site, it'll give you percentages of, like, so if you run 25 lineups, it'll tell you, you know, right now it says, like, James Harden's in 100% of them, which means he's in every single lineup iteration, that of at least of the top 25 lineups, right? So I ran it, and it was Zach Randolph is at 95% of all lineups, and I thought, oh, we must be just way too high. 20 minutes. Like, it's like, what do you do? Like, we don't even have him. Like, we're probably low on his minutes, and it's just like, you're gonna play Zach Randolph at $5,400 off the bench against Boston, like at power forward, and that's only just that's only curing half your problem at power forward, because now you still have to roster another guy. Like, so I just, if I'm laughing, it's because I think it's so ridiculous. I just don't even, I get the giggles. I don't think I can even, like, I just can't even look at these names. I mean, like, so Zach Randolph, like, thankfully they moved Brandon Ingram, who was one of those classic, like, you'll get, like, we'll text each other, like, is Brandon Ingram playing? Like, while he's on the court, he'll kind of run around forever and not do anything. Amir Johnson.
Well, he looked like the savior for a second. We were like, oh my gosh, we're low on Amir Johnson's minutes. Maybe we can play him. Nah, you can't play Amir Johnson.
Right, we boosted him to 24 minutes, which probably is high, because that's the most he's ever really going to see.
It's not high.
He'll randomly play 17 minutes.
26, 24, 24. That's the right number.
I do think you end up seeing maybe some people play JaMychal Green. Only 4,900, though. He doesn't really do much in the offense when they have Conley and Gasol sort of back in there. It all speaks to this position is so bad. I mean,
some people might play Joel Bolomboy tonight.
This is the kind of night. Well, this is the kind of night, honestly, where
available on Utah.
I do wish that they either rethought some of their positional things, because this has kind of been a problem, not all year, but for a lot of the year of power forward. But the way that you knew NBA is structured, power forwards just don't traditionally, the guys that traditionally play power forward, the ones that are good, like Kevin Love, are just really expensive, and you have to kind of, early Anthony Davis, you have to overpay for them. And the rest of the guys, the teams just don't play them enough for you to really trust them, because they just want to go small, or the guy can't play defense or something like that, or they just don't fit into the new NBA. This is where I wish FanDuel would maybe, like, possibly consider rethinking how they have lineups put together, because I don't know. It's just this night is the thing that really puts it onto the carpet. So I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky though, right? Because I hear that for sure, and totally agree. It's one of the most annoying things about building lineups on FanDuel. But we've talked about this before. But multi-position eligibility really makes it just the game so much more hard. Yeah. And for, like, newer players that are just trying to survive, like, multi-position eligibility, not that it makes it completely impossible, but it certainly complicates matters. Because, like, your first instinct is like, oh, well, it'll make it easier because then you don't have to make decisions like this. But what FanDuel does here is it forces everyone into the same position, and that increases variance, which is just good for new players. So, you know, it's a pill I'm willing to swallow, but it's a bitter one for sure.
Let's finish it off at center. Yeah. Hassan Whiteside's a guy that our system's typically high on, it for good reason. This guy has enormous upside when all things are clicking. The problem with him is it's just not always clicking. And sometimes it seems, you know, there's a lot of people talk about the mental side of things, or if he just mentally checks out. It does appear that that happens to him from time to time. I don't know if that's one of those things that's been overplayed at this point because everyone mentions it, or if it is actually a real thing. He's expensive, 9,200 on FanDuel, I think in the 8,000s, on, you know, 8,700 on DraftKings. He's basically a double-double machine. The game seems like it should stay close, and he should see his minutes. Can we consider him safe for these prices?
Sure. I mean, it just all depends if you can make the money work elsewhere and you can find a suitable substitute, right? So, like, I think you can absolutely play him against Oklahoma City. Steven Adams is a good defender, but Whiteside poses his own unique matchup problem for people, and that he's just such a beast of a rebounder, and he doesn't really, like, the value from Whiteside comes from putbacks and rolling off the pick and roll and stuff like that, and I don't think that Adams necessarily will really inhibit him from doing those sorts of things, and he's just really expensive, so right. You know, you're going to keep that in mind. He's definitely priced to the upper end of his production here, so he's definitely not a guy you just want to close your eyes and jam in regardless of the matchup. Oklahoma City overall has been quite tough on opposing centers, and it's a really short slate, so you take all those factors together and you just kind of do your best with it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think people do not like playing him, especially in cash games, because they see him as a risky guy because, again, if you watch him from time to time, he just gets pissed off and doesn't seem like he wants to play, and then he kind of looks like he loafs. But I also...
Yeah, he's like not fun to root for, really.
I also wonder how much of that is like, we're just like super tuned into it now because you're kind of like expecting it to happen. So I always wonder if like that's like sort of the eye test thing, where the eye test can maybe get you in trouble and then maybe stop you from rostering a guy who again, like he has 50-point upside, especially in the right matchup, which this could be one of them, right? This game does project to be pretty high scoring on the Miami side. So he's a guy that I'll probably end up playing in cash games, and I'm just not sure I'm going to feel amazing about it. After him...
What about your boy Montreal Harrell?
Did you call him Montreal?
Yeah, because his parents, I assume, were attempting to name him Montreal Harrell and misclicked and hit the Z instead of the A in the first name. So I assume that his name is just Montreal Harrell.
Sounds better, actually. I think he's probably a chalk play. Now, the problem with him is, he saw 28 and 28 minutes in the previous two games, but only 23 again last night. They can't really play him in crunch time because they're just going to go small ball. Would they have all those wing shooting, threes basically with Harden driving?
I see that against Phoenix, but against Dallas, like I don't see that game just like becoming this shootout where they're all up and down the court and Harrell can't keep up.
No. If you think he's going to play 28 minutes, he's definitely locked. I think he's ended up being the chalk play because he's still cheap and he's just seeing enough and he just kind of does enough on the court while he's there that that it warrants the price. So I think you'll see him as probably the most played center, at least on FanDuel, probably on DraftKings as well, where the price hasn't really climbed at all. He's fine. I don't think there's tons of upside, but the floor is perfectly acceptable considering that he's starting. They're giving more of his minutes, more of Nene's minutes to him. So yeah, no, definitely he's probably the chalk play there. What about a guy like Marc Gasol? He's coming on the back to back. Do you worry about some of these Memphis guys who played last night? They've been pretty conservative on back to backs with these guys.
Yeah, I'm also just worried about Gasol on a performance standpoint. I mean, he's 8,000 now, back-to-back pretty crappy performances in reasonable matchups with Orlando and Houston, a couple of good games, and then some pretty mediocre performances prior to that. So, like, Gasol has his own set of warts for me. Boston plays fast. That really helps. I think some of their center numbers are colored by the fact that Horford hasn't been there all year. I think he's a much stronger defender than, like, the Olynyk and Zellers that they trotted out there without him. So I don't think you can take those at face value. But, I think he's, like, Deese, as the kids say.
Oh, wow, dude. Way to get young.
He's Deese.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to end it there because that was just
drop.
That's really going to bring in our younger demographic. We're from Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings.com, DFSR.com for short. You can go and get a free 3-day trial to the projection system that's really informing most of our opinions that are coming through on this podcast. That is free for 3 days and then $29.95 a month after. Also includes NFL. Go over, if you're wondering if you get it, go over to our chat room, talk to some of the people that have been using it for a while, and they'll give you their honest opinions about it. I wouldn't point you there if I thought they were going to say something bad. So go check it out, dfsr.com/membership. We'll be back again Thursday talking some basketball. Hey, buddy, enjoy tonight's four-game slate that starts at 7:30. So don't tell anyone, in your family when you're leaving early that as far as they're concerned, it still starts at 7. That's how you get that extra half hour of research. All right, buddy, talk to you soon.
DFSR, climb into the white van of DFS with us, and we'll give you candy. That's how we roll.